Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Major David Katz, sorry, we ran over just a little bit, but we were talking about some very important things, and we're going to ask you the same question.
I was hoping you were going to ask me for my opinion.
Oh.
but okay, let me put it this way. Being a little bit circumspect, let me put it this way. There's nobody you've mentioned that I have any objection to coming up against the wrath of the people. Let's put it that way. Without naming anybody, let's put it that way. I think, there's some prime candidates on the list that you've spoken about.
Yeah. So what do you think of our new campaign, that we, the campaign slogan, the ANC, we have grown some?
The ANC, we have grown some, yeah.
Yeah.
That certainly resonates.
You see, Lynn, I think, you know what?
I think it could be the one. Some,
although I don't know how it's going to resonate with the older generation.
Yeah. And me trying to explain it to my grandmother, my dad might grasp, but I don't know if I want to explain it to my grandmother.
I understand the predicament. I must tell you, I understand the predicament of those who can't find a political home in this country. I'm one of them, by the way. I mean, I have never been comfortable voting for the party that I voted for. I have voted because I feel it's an obligation to do so. But I don't believe that in the last 30, 40 years, there's been a party in South Africa that represents my political aims. And I think a lot of people are in that predicament at this moment. A lot of people have found a home in the ANC, and I can understand it, and they're very reluctant to leave that home because there's no alternatives out there for them to find where their political aspirations lie. Perhaps Herman Mashaba can provide us with some relief in that regard. I don't know. I'm not too sure. You know, the jury's out. I tell you, politicians are not my best at the best of times. So, we face some challenges here.
Yeah, we do. We do. It's just quite unbelievable. Let's take a break from local politics and let's look further abroad. Let's take a look back at Russia, Greece. Tell us what's going on around the world.
Well, okay, we spoil for choice, by the way. There's just a lot of trouble happening in a lot of different areas. The one that's happening right now that must probably garners the most attention is Greece, Turkey. There's an age-old dispute between these two countries going back centuries, and it's been dampened over the years. We had an incident with Cyprus, you know well about that, in 1975, where the two countries were on the brink of – well, in fact, they did fight a war in Cyprus, but there was a brink of having a full-out conventional war. And since then, there have been incidents that have come up that have ignited the flames there. Latest incidents, of course, is an economic one. They found a lot of gas in the Mediterranean, and it's a disputed area, and Greece claims certain rights, Turkey claims certain rights, as well as Israel, Egypt, Jordan, all those countries bordering the Mediterranean. So this is the latest incident to flare up between these two countries. The difference being now, Howard, is that in the past, we could rely on the United States of America to intervene in these matters and dampen them down and use the big stick. And they are absent from the proceedings. So it's been left to Germany to step in as a mediator. And that's where we are at the moment. We're in a very, very volatile situation with both Greece and Turkey posturing. And it looks like there could be a war.
Mad. I mean, it's insane.
Absolutely insane, yeah.
Is anyone likely to intervene to try and resolve this?
Well, this is very interesting. As I've said, the USA has taken a back seat on these things for obvious reasons. We've discussed that before. I mean, the United States it's extracted itself from European affairs to a certain extent. Britain, by virtue of Brexit, has now also lost influence in the area. So it seems that Germany has stepped in and has tried to mediate in this affair. Most probably is the best country at this stage to try and to address the concerns of both the nations and try and avoid a war there. But what's interesting is not so long ago, conventional or what we would call old-fashioned war seemed to be obsolete. This interstate war was passé. We felt that we were entering an era where interstate war seemed to be a thing of the past. And I'm beginning to think that this is a mistake. we are mistaking a trend for a paradigm shift. So there's been a trend away from it, but I think there's a good possibility that we could see a conventional war in the near future, either between Turkey and Greece or between China and India or even Russia now. There's a situation sitting there in Belarus, which is very, very volatile, very, very dangerous. And I mean, there's a spark that could go off in any one of these regions leading into a conventional war in those areas. So we can't be complacent. We need to watch this quite carefully.
Just going through them, are all of these hotspots about land? I mean, I think China and India is about a disputed region, isn't it?
It is. On the surface, it's about a disputed region. And certainly that region has been a dispute for many, many years. But I think it goes deeper than that. It's when we talk about China, India, it's about dominance. It's about political dominance in the area where the two of them are vying for regional superpower status, and the Chinese have been disingenuous between Pakistan and Indian relations. So it goes a hell of a lot deeper than just mere territorial problems. With the Russian situation at the moment, I mean, we can call it territorial, but it's an encroachment. We've spoken about Russia also, worrying about the encroachment of NATO onto previous Soviet Union territory. I think they have concerns about it. I think they've got valid concerns about it. And I think the West has been disingenuous to some extent in encroaching on previous Russian territory where they could have pulled back and stayed out of it. But it's more of a political situation there than a territorial situation, although territories involved. And here with Turkey and Greece, we've got mineral rights, which is driving the whole thing. It's not really territorial. I think their territorial disputes have sort of been settled. Well, not really. I don't know. We've still got Cyprus. We've still got a lot of disputed islands in the area that both Turkey and Greece claim. We have conflicting Greek and Turkish claims over to how far their territory extends into the sea. And now that we have minerals, they're sitting on huge gas deposits in these countries. Now that we've got minerals thrown into the mix, it's a very, very volatile situation. So different reasons for the conflict, certainly.
Ansan says, how could Greece possibly take Turkey on in a war? Surely they'll be annihilated.
Interesting question, and I think a very, very valid question. There's no doubt about it that Turkey wields a formidable army that has a lot of military experience over the last few years. So they've been involved in Syria. They've been involved in putting down the Kurds at various areas. So it's an army that's also had a bit of military practice. Whereas the Greeks have not been at war for many, many years. They have a smaller army. It's not as well developed. Turkey has a much larger population. So, I mean, if you're going to talk about a straight, one-on-one conventional war between the two, Greece is not going to stand much of a chance against Turkey. But then there's all the allies involved. And I mean, Israel is a participant here also, by the way, and could be sucked into the situation because Israel is becoming closer and closer to Greece as the ties between Turkey and Israel start to deteriorate. So there's a whole lot of other factors that are coming in here. So in a short, sharp war, we don't know what the result would be. But obviously with a protracted war, which I don't think is possible, Greece is not going to come off on top. That's for sure.
Mm. So if you were a betting man, which you're not, of all of these conflicts, which do you think is going to be the next conventional war?
Well, I think we've got two areas here that are very, very precarious. I do believe that there is a problem here between Greece and Turkey that's not easily solved. And the problem is it's so heated now at the moment that a little spark can set off something in that region. And I mean, there's just so many volatile areas in this region. You've got Syria, you've got Israel, you've got Egypt, you've got all the Libyan interests also, because Turkey's got different interests to Egypt in Libya. So there's a very, I would say it's a dangerous situation. I don't want to predict that something's going to happen, but it's a very, very dangerous, volatile position, and something can happen there. Same as with Russia and Belarus. We've got a situation right now where the Russians are saying they're going to come to the aid of Belarus, and also a very, very volatile situation. Both situations can spark off, and there can be a huge problem. We haven't been, let's put it this way, I don't think we've been in this situation now for a decade or two, where the situation in the Mediterranean and Eastern Europe has been so volatile as it is today. So it's certainly there's need for concern there.
Unfortunately, we do need to leave it there, David Katz. Very, very interesting conversation. Thank you.